You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the crew, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And if your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO.
Call them.
Proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. The wide receiver pool continues to grow in free agency. We know Ted Ginn was released a couple days ago. Well, yeah, today, Harry Douglas, who had over 1,000 yards in 2013 when Julio Jones got hurt for the Atlanta Falcons, was cut, as was Brian Hartline, former Ohio State Buckeye receiver who had 1,000 yards receiving in both 2012 and 2013 for the Dolphins, but had a very disappointing 2014 season and ended up basically losing his job to Jarvis Landry out of LSU, finishing with just 474 and two scores, was Hartline. And it was a disappointing 2014 marred by injury for Harry Douglas, also held under 500 yards that year. And in a huge shock, the Cincinnati Bengals have shocked the world, ladies and gentlemen, by releasing Greg Little.
Crickets.
Who's that a shock to?
Not a shock at all.
One of the worst draft picks in Cleveland Browns history.
Greg Little is once again without a job. So Brian Hartline, he's on the market. Ted Ginn, he's on the market. A.J. Hawk, he's on the market. Wilhelm, people want to know if Hartline, Ginn, A.J. Hawk all come here to the Browns, are you coming out of retirement to play for the Browns?
Definitely not. Again, like I told you guys during break, I played a dodgeball tournament last night on the trampolines at Sky Zone in Westlake.
Uh-huh.
And both my shoulders are so sore. My feet are sore. My knees are sore. So I am definitely not ready for the NFL football game again.
You know, if one of those guys fits for the Browns, I'm fine with them signing him. But I'm sort of tired of the storyline, not just because I'm a Michigan guy, but just in general with the Cleveland and the this and that. Let's bring in football players. Let's
Agreed.
Bring in guys that are going to win games for us, not bring in guys because it's a good storyline.
If they are the best players for the team, it's not like the New York Giants were sitting there and thinking, we need to bring in guys that are from New York. You bring in the best football players.
Right.
That's all that matters. So
of course,
if it works out, that's great. What I like about it is you have more receivers into the market. That's going to mean prices are, I think, could be more competitive on the middle to lower end, which is where I think the Browns are going to spend their money. I think, you know, guys who are the big money guys are going to get big money,
that
period.
That first wave's going to go, and then I think the Browns come into play.
But why would we not spend big money to get a number one guy?
Because I don't think you can get who are you going to get that's a number one guy?
Dez?
Dez is probably going to stay in Dallas. Demaryius Thomas is most likely going to stay. They're going to keep him in. I don't think they're going to hit
the
market.
Who's going to get big money?
Macklin, if he gets out there. Randall Cobb, if he gets out there. Yeah, but I don't know that he's a number one.
Yeah, he's a rich man's Hawkins, probably.
Very wealthy.
Well, very. I mean, he's better than Hawkins, but they play
like
the same role.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in yards from the slot last year. Randall Cobb, very effective, but not necessarily an outside guy. But to me, a guy like Harry Douglas, I thought whenever Julio Jones went down, whenever he got 10 targets in a game, put up 100 yards for the Falcons, was very effective.
Injury prone, though, isn't
just,
he?
Just last year, had a foot injury. Brian Hartline, again, more of a spot guy. The guy that I want for the Browns in, you know, at that number two, because I don't think you're going to get a number one. Like, I love Macklin, but I think he's just going to be cost prohibitive. Torrey Smith I would love. I think he might end up being ultimately cost prohibitive if it gets built up. But a guy like Cecil Shorts, if you can bring in a Cecil Shorts to be your number two receiver, draft a Devontae Parker to be your number one, all of a sudden I feel you're feeling pretty good about things, I think, if you're the Cleveland Browns. So that's kind of the level receiver I'm looking at. That's why I like Hartline's out there kind of at that level, and you've got now Harry Douglas kind of out there at that level, that I think it just makes the pool a little more diluted, which can help the wise spenders when you identify who it is that you want.
So basically we're going into next season, in your guys' opinion, with A, no number one, or a rookie number one.
Yes.
We got to get a rookie number one then. I mean,
yes.
you have to.
You almost feel that way because now you could go and you could say that we're going to have two twos, and Andrew Hawkins is kind of like is certainly a three plus. I think he showed last year he can be a two,
sure.
But I think his natural role is best served being in the slot for your team. So I think that, yes, right now you're looking at bringing in a two. Now, Cecil Shorts, though, you could make the case the kid for a while was a number one in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Produce like a number one in Jacksonville.
So if you got Cecil Shorts and you drafted someone in the, say, the second round or even the first round.
Could be a Funchess. It could be a Jalen Strong. It could be a Devin
Smith.
Are
those guys going to be there in round
two? Rashad Perriman.
Yes.
Yeah, they think so.
If those guys are there in round two, I'm waiting to round two.
Strong, I don't think, will make it to round two. I think Strong is going to go somewhere in the first round. But a lot of people, a lot of people think that their good wide receiver talent would be available to the Browns at that second in their with their second round pick. To me, though, if you can get, you know, yesterday Daniel Jeremiah was talking about how good Devontae Parker is, and he wouldn't be surprised if Parker is the second receiver taken with Cooper being the third receiver
Why
taken.
Why is Cooper dropping so much?
Because he's just so
smooth
and solid.
He's not as flashy as the other guys.
He's like Torrey Holt is what Kurt Warner said.
I'll take Torrey Holt.
Big game Torrey Holt? Of course you'd take Torrey Holt.
It's funny you said that because I was just going to ask you for a comparison. What his top shelf is Torrey Holt?
That's what they think. He's very smooth. But they're acting like he didn't run fast. He ran a 4.4.
Yeah.
He ran well. He's incredibly productive. He doesn't have maybe the raw upside that a Kevin White showed or that maybe some people think Devontae Parker has. Because Parker actually played very well even without Bridgewater coming back from the injury this year. Bridgewater's favorite guy. I think it'll be tough for him to get past Minnesota. I mean, you know, Teddy's going to be in there lobbying his little heart out
to
bring Devontae Parker in for that team. But I think that these wide receivers, it is interesting. Big free agent wide receiver crop. Lots of guys that the Browns, I think, will take a look at. I think they know they need to throw some assets at that position. And a guy like Cecil Shorts to me would be a good fit. Your concern with Cecil Shorts, as we all know, is his ability to stay healthy. And that has been something that has plagued Cecil Shorts. But in 2012, he was incredibly productive receiver. 2013, poor quarterback play was not as great. And then last year, he struggled a little bit, was a little bit banged up. As the Mike Judge, ladies and gentlemen, walks by, founding father of the Gentleman Cigar Club of Cleveland.
And my clothes still smell from 3 weeks ago, four times through the washing machine.
That is a tough one to get rid of, no doubt about it. So we want to talk about, you know, all these receivers. Again, the big question today, the draft. Who are you taking at 12 and 19? And we're going to go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We've got Ken in Costa Rica. Ken, I'm jealous.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. As a matter of fact, I was going to call you when you guys were in Indianapolis talking about the weather because it was 81 and sunny down here, and I thought, well, I'll just call and chat about the
My lips froze and fell off of my head in Indianapolis when it was 25 below with a wind chill, they said, around negative 50.
What are you doing calling us from 81 and sunny?
He likes the show, the kid. How dare you?
I'm a Browns fan. I bleed orange,
that's
so
right.
I got all. You know, yes. It's the right show for this.
It is the right show.
I wanted to kind of talk about that Josh McCown.
Yes.
I know it's not top right this second, but it was earlier. I don't quite understand why you guys are backing him so strongly because of his record. I mean, I read an article about him this morning. It says he was 2-7 in Oakland. He was 1-10 for the Bucs. His overall record was less or just right at 50%, I think. I don't understand how he can be a mentor. What's he going to teach somebody how to be average? And, you know, he had, what, 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And this is out of a story off the Browns page this morning, out of the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Sure.
We get that down here, so I read it as much as I can. And I think I'm a Brian Hoyer fan, and I think putting Johnny and Brian Hoyer together again for a second year might not be a bad idea. The two created some form of a friendship, and Johnny is not going to be the same guy when he comes out of rehab as he was going in. His attitude's going to be different. Some of his philosophies will be different, and quite possibly his drives are going to be different. So to have two guys that know one another on the same team with one having such problem, I think that would work okay, mentor or no mentor, just as buddies, teammates, if you will.
I think maybe one difference is, and I don't know what really goes on behind the scenes with Johnny and Brian Hoyer, so I don't know exactly what that relationship was like, but I know it certainly was more competitive than I think a Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel relationship would be. So Josh McCown, over the last 2 years, in about 19 games, he's produced 24 passing touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and 4 rushing touchdowns. So 28 touchdowns total, 15 interceptions over the last years, which is Mike Glennon, 29 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
Yes.
So very similar. He's completed about 60% of his passes, and he has averaged over about 7.4 yards per attempt. So he has been okay. I'm not saying, listen, Josh McCown is not the guy that you bring in and think your franchise quarterback problems are solved. Josh McCown is a guy that can come in and make some spot starts for your team. I don't think Josh McCown is, to me, he's somebody that is non-threatening to a guy like Johnny Manziel. He doesn't, as you said earlier, kid, he's not here to resurrect his career and finish out his career and start 5 more years in the league. And I would say if you bring in a Josh McCown, you're not done at quarterback. By the way, he also has a great birthday. He born 1 year after me, July 4th, 1979. So
very cool. And he's got I think everybody's kind of grouping a Josh McCown and a Brian Hoyer in the same. And I think what you just said is very key, is he's not looking to catapult his career and play till 40 by his next opportunity, whether it be in Buffalo or here in Cleveland, whereas a Brian Hoyer is looking to compete and play as a starter for the next 5 years somewhere from age 29 to 34 before he's in that same situation as Josh McCown. You know, but I think when you look at the skill set and statistically what you just laid out is, it's a slight upgrade at 60% completion, 2-to-1, you know, interception or tight end or touchdown to interception ratio, and obviously, you know, a significant number of starts, and a heck of a lot of time a career in the National Football League.
Yeah, and the one thing that the caller from Costa Rica mentioned that I take a little umbrage with is, he said, he's never done well, so he couldn't be a good mentor. Sometimes the best mentors...
Well, he did have a season in 2013 in 8 games. He threw 13 touchdowns with 1 interception. But that's playing at a very high level.
But also, sometimes the best mentors, like Steve DeBerg back in the day, was a great mentor. He was never a great quarterback, but he was very instrumental in helping the development, I think it was of John Elway and some other quarterbacks. Sometimes those guys, they've been around greatness, they've seen greatness, and they can help teach someone even though they weren't necessarily great.
It's same. Look at Kevin O'Connell. Right? We just brought him as a quarterback coach. He's never necessarily played an extremely high level in the National Football League, but yet he's coaching our quarterbacks.
And I think that's what the difference is, what he represents and the fact that he is 6'4", 220, does have a stronger arm, just a bigger, stronger guy, good for the AFC North. That's, to me, why I would imagine the Browns are interested in him. This is not a long-term solution. This is much more a Band-Aid mentor, and I think if you bring in a Josh McCown, it's saying, okay, here's a guy that's our veteran that if we have to throw in there, we can. Hopefully we'll be able to progress Johnny quickly, and hopefully we can add another asset at the quarterback position, whether that be via trade, via the draft, et cetera, that can also compete and be here for us.
So you guys are mentioning that you don't think it'd be done if we got McCown.
No. Who's
the next one that comes with
him? What about Foles in a trade still?
Could be a trade,
you know,
scenario,
I mean?
Yeah.
I think you add another veteran and really just, you know, solidify this group and let them figure it out.
Or it could be Hundley or a Bryce Petty or a Garrett Grayson.
Is there such a thing as too many quarterbacks in the room?
Not in this team, because we've gotten it wrong for so long.
Until you have one, no. I do think the Browns need to be focusing all of their efforts. Why I say that Josh McCown means they're not done, you need to focus all your efforts on finding the guy who can be the guy, a guy that you can have where you go into camp every year and you know who your starting quarterback is. The goal and the hope is still that that's Johnny Manziel after he comes out of his personal development, that he comes back and he's ready to embrace being a football player and can do that. You have him under contract for cheap for 4 more years. That's the hope, but I don't think the Browns are – they're certainly not saying Josh McCown would be the answer or that another one of these veterans would be the answer, but you need to try to find the guy that is. McCown is somebody that is non-threatening to your long-term goal, that can help out, be a bridge, and be somebody who I think would be much more supportive of the other people in the room than maybe some other people who are still trying and scratching and clawing to be a starter and have 6 more years as a starter.
That's a good point.
In the National Football League. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue the phone calls, 216-578-0850. I know we got people want to talk about Brian Hartline. Buckeyes flooding the market. What does that mean for the Browns? Should it mean anything? You know what we think? Whoever the best football players are for this team, guys that want to play like Browns, that's who you want to bring in regardless of where they are from. All right, Nathan Zagura, Kid Wilhelm here, CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.